세 바스데바야 옴 나모 바가바테 바스데바야 옴 나모 바가바테 바스데바야 So a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 8, text 22. Ye deha bhajas triguna pradana. Ye deha bhajas triguna pradana. Gunan vipasyant yutava tamascha. Gunan vipasyant yutava tamascha. Yan mayaya mohita cetasastvam. Yan mayaya mohita cetasastvam. Vidu swasamstam na bahi prakasa. Vidu swasamstam na bahi prakasa. Ye deha bhajas triguna pradana. Gunan vipasyant yutava tamascha. Yan mayaya mohita cetasastvam. Vidu swasamstam na bahi prakasa. Others. Oh, sorry. Vaishnavis. Yea, those persons who. Dehabaja. Have accepted the material body. Triguna Pradana. Influenced by the three modes of material nature. Gunan. The manifestation of the three modes of material nature. Vipassyanti. Can see only. Uta. It is so said. Va. Either. Tamaha. The mode of ignorance. Cha. And. Yatmayaya. By the illusory energy of whom? Mohita. Has bewildered. Chaitasa. The core of whose heart? Twam. Your lordship. Vidu. No. Swasamstam. Situated in one's own body. Na. Not. Bahi Prakasha. Those who can see only the products of external energy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, You are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see You, for they are influenced by the external energy conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, they can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see Your Lordship. Purport. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One, therefore, must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitra pavitrova savarvasam gatopiva. Yasmanet pundarikaksham sabayahantaraha suchi. To keep ourselves externally clean, we should bathe three times daily. For internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must always follow this principle. Bayahantara suchi. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Om Aginatamananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Noitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swaparantikam. Hare Krishna. Nice to be back in New Dwarka and see everybody again. So this verse is talking about understanding Krishna, seeing Krishna. And Prabhupada in the purport, he's talking about understanding Krishna, and later at the end of the purport he's talking about seeing Krishna, but it's obviously seeing in the sense of understanding. So actually, understanding Krishna is really not such a big deal. Not such a big deal. Everybody in the spiritual world understands Krishna, and that's over 90% of the jivas. You know, there's that conversation where I think it took place up in this room up here, Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada's talking, and some scholars were up there with him. Maybe it was Dr. Stilson Judah or another doctor, Dr. Mice or something. And they asked the question, what percentage of the living entities are here, you know, come fall into the material world? And Prabhupada said, 10%. He said, and then he paused and he said, actually less than 10%. So that means 90% or over 90% are of the jivas, which are unlimited, but anyway, are in the spiritual world with Krishna, and they're understanding Krishna. You know, they're seeing Krishna face to face, they're hearing him, they're understanding him. So in that sense, it's not that big a deal. Just like there's that anecdote where a disciple of Bhakti Trumaraj was saying to him, you know, it's really, Chinese is a really complicated language. I mean, there's all these characters, and they're like pictures, and it's so different from English. I said, like, it must be really difficult to learn Chinese. And, and there's Gauranga Prem, and he's Chinese. So Bhakti Trumaraj came back and said, actually, no, it's not. And the disciple was kind of bewildered, and he came again, you know, and he gave another presentation, but no, it's, you know, it's like the sounds are all different, and the, you know, there's all these intonations, and if you just get it a little bit wrong, it means a whole different thing. And you know, he came back with another set of line of argument there, and still Bhakti Trumaraj said, no, it's, and he was bewildered. He said, no, it's not hard. You know, the disciple was bewildered, and then he said, it's not difficult. Every 2 and 3 year old child in China knows how to speak it perfectly. Okay, so you know. Same thing. It's a, for us, it's like, oh, understanding Krishna, like, whoa, that's a big deal. But over 90% of the jivas are in the spiritual world, and they're having no difficulty with the whole thing. They're understanding Krishna perfectly. And fortunately for us, you know, the potential is always there. You know, so it's not like, okay, once you're not understanding Krishna, which is our case, that there's no hope ever. No. Nitya Siddha, Krishna, Prema, Sabhi, Kabunaya, Shravana, De Su, De Chitta, Koreo, Daya. Pure love for Krishna is lying dormant within the heart of every living entity, including us, you know, all of us jivas who are here in the material world. And it can be awakened again by Shravana, De Su, De Chitta, Koreo, Daya, by this process of hearing and chanting. And Prabhupada mentions that. And later in the purport here, he talks about how he says, for internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. You know, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam, Bhava Mahadevagni Navapanam. By the chanting, it cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together, all the opposite of cleanliness, all the dirt. And of course, chanting is part of the greater, you know, how would you say it? The part of devotional service, the greater category. It's one of the 9 processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam. And so, you know, devotional service is the broader category, and chanting is one part of that. So, and this devotional service, this is how we understand Krishna. This is the process. Like in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhakti mam avijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tato mam gatvato tatvam vishate tadanantanam. Did I get it right? Tatvato, yeah. Almost. So, yeah, Krishna says that he's understood by devotional service. And here, the chanting is being emphasized. But that's, you know, the general process. He's understood by devotional service. But also it's explained elsewhere throughout the Shastras and by the Acharyas that, you know, this devotional service has to be performed a certain way, has to be of a certain quality in order to, you know, enable us to revive our awareness of our relationship with Krishna. And there's many verses that, you know, that talk about this. And one that came to my mind as being particularly significant or relevant was from the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatichaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. That if somebody engages in devotional service and doesn't fall down in any circumstance, he at once transcends the 3 modes of material nature and becomes situated on the platform of Brahman, situated in the transcendental position. So for some reason that just sprung to mind as being a particularly significant guideline. That, you know, that's very important. We have to have that kind of determination, you know, to engage in devotional service, and just, you got to struggle. You got to struggle. It's a challenge. It's hard. You know, the mind is always dictating, for me at least, things other than devotional service. Go to sleep. Eat more. Look at this. Look at that. You know, it's a constant barrage of bad association for the most part. And you just have to, you know, Prabhupada said, chalk out your line of duty and follow it. Just have to, you know, make your mind, make a decision that I'm going to, you know, I know what the instruction of the spiritual master is, and I'm going to you know, try to follow that, try to do that in every, at every turn, at every, you know, circumstance. And if you could do that, then you transcend the three modes of material nature and you come to the, you know, the spiritual transcendental position. But it's not a mechanical process. It's not a mechanical process. It's actually the opposite. It's a very, it's a relationship. It's like a real personal exchange. And how that works is this. And that's explained by Krishna in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says the famous verses, maybe somebody else can quote, well, I'll quote, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenam amapriyantite. Can we get some devotee who's been in the movement 5 years or less to quote the next verse? Anybody? 5 years or less. Can you quote them? Very good. Translation? Yeah, right. Thank you. Very good. Big round of applause. Fucked everything. Learning the shlokas. So, yeah, that's how it works. It's a personal relationship. It's not mechanical. You know, Krishna's there. He's in the heart. He's watching how hard we're trying, you see? And when we're trying, like, hard enough, you know, that he feels he's pleased, you know, he's satisfied, then he, to show special mercy, he destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. And it's real simple. That's how it works. And, yeah, so... And this is right along, you know, aligns with something else Prabhupada once said. Prabhupada used to say, he used to quote his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as having said, don't try to see God, but just act in such a way that God sees you. So that's like a, you know, perfect expansion on that same point. That we just have to try to please Krishna by our service, and please the spiritual master by our service, and then he reveals. So that's how it works. And we can all experience this. Actually, I had a nice experience of this over the weekend. So I'll just briefly relate it. I was with the Sankirtan devotees. We went down to San Diego to distribute books at this cartoon convention, I guess you'd call it Comic-Con, it was called Comic Convention. And I thought it was going to be really... sweet, because I'd done one up in Salt Lake City a couple of years ago, and there was a lot of young people, and they were all dressed in costumes and just parading around, and it was really like, you know, I snuck inside, and it was a lot of fun, and I thought, well, this is going to be the same sort of thing, but at least for me, it wasn't. You know, I wasn't able to sneak in. I was working on the outside, and it was somehow or another, the average age, it was more like middle Americans, and it wasn't like a lot of kids. It was kids there. But the average age was like, you know, 35 or so. It was a lot of older people. And they weren't dressed in costumes. And it was just kind of like, it was different. And, but, you know, hey, we came all that way, so I had to plug in. And so I was working really hard. And some books were going out. And, you know, some Lakshmi was coming in. But it was hard. It was hard. So I did it. It was a four-day event. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I did it Thursday. And I thought, okay, you know, I did something. And it was halfway decent. And then by halfway through Friday, I just was like, man, this is tough. This is not what I expected. I mean, I'm doing something here. You know, some books are going out and some Lakshmi's coming in, but this is like really hard. I'm just running my body into the ground here. And this, I don't want to do that. And I was thinking to myself, I want to do this service for another 20 years, if, I mean, possible, ideally. So I don't want to just run myself into the ground. So I was thinking, but what can I do? You know, we came all this way, and what do you do? And then I remembered, by Krishna's mercy, my old friend Oceanside. And I remembered, well, wait a second. Today's Friday. That means tomorrow's Saturday and the day after is Sunday. And that's when all the Marines are going to get off for the weekend and they'll be down at Oceanside. So I thought, okay, yeah, I guess I'll give it a go, you know. But it was a risk because, you know, I hadn't been there for a long time. And it can be very quiet. And sometimes there's other solicitors there. They, you know, they caught on, and they're, you know, it's competition. And here I am at a spot where there's, you know, I mean, there were thousands of people. There was no question of not enough people. There was, I mean, plenty of engagement. There was, you know, the whole city of San Diego was basically down there, or a good part of it, you know. And but I thought, no, I can't. I just don't want to do this again. So I thought, I'll take the chance, you know. So I went up there on Saturday, and when I got there, I went with Bhakta Gus here. No, anyway, we got there and it was pulled in. You know, when you come off the five and you go down a hill and you can see the whole thing, it's like a ghost town. And I was like, oh no, I blew it. There's no practically nobody here. I mean, it looked like hardly any people. And then, but I think, well, you know, drove 45 minutes to get here. I can't just turn around and go back. So I pulled in. We pulled into the parking lot, parked. I got out. And I thought, okay, well, I got to give it a go. I got to, you know, got to try. Anyway, you know, just like I saw, I started out. I packed my bag and everything. And sure enough, I spotted a Marine. So I go, okay, great. Run over there. And, hey, thank you for your service. And that's my opening line with these guys. And they go, oh, and they always go, oh, thank you for your support. And I say, so what branch are you? And they say, oh, Marines, as if I didn't know, you know. And I say, oh, great, what's your MOS? And, you know, they say whatever. And then sometimes they say some numbers, and sometimes I know them, and that really impresses them. Like they'll say, you know, whatever, 3521. I say, oh, you're an LAV operator, right? And they go, oh, yeah, how'd you know? I say, you know. And anyway, so, you know, the guy took a book, and he gave a nice donation. And then I looked around and said, okay, well, at least one book went out, and one donation was, you know, I got. And then you couldn't say, and then another one, you know. And, like, somehow or another, it just kind of happened. You know, and it was like getting on to the point that I had the desire to, you know, to serve Krishna. And I had a plan, you know, and I made an attempt. I was trying, in other words, and I was praying. I wanted it to work, you know, so I was trying and I was praying, and I felt like Krishna just reciprocated and made it happen. And I wound up doing, on the Saturday, within an hour and a half, I distributed as many books and collected as much Lakshmi as I did in 6 hours the day before. You know, so I figured, yeah, definitely, I made the right decision. And then I went on to do about two or three times what I did the day before. So, you know, I felt definitely I made the right decision. But the thing was this, you know, that it was, and I felt very happy. You know, I just felt like, wow, this is great. Here I am in Oceanside. It's, you know, it's just like in an hour and a half, I've distributed as many books, collected as much Lakshmi. I'm standing there looking at the ocean in the distance. The breezes are coming, and people, life is good, you know, just, it felt really good. But it was, you know, I felt it wasn't like a mundane thing. I felt it was a transcendental thing. And I remembered this excerpt from a letter that Prabhupada wrote, which I've quoted before, but, you know, we don't have any problem with repetition in the Krishna consciousness movement, so I'll read it again. And I was reminded, when this was happening, I was just reminded of this letter where Prabhupada wrote, in response to something Brahmananda wrote to Prabhupada. This was Prabhupada's response. He said, regarding Krishna's being kind upon us should be on the principle Arjuna followed. That principle is that Krishna was Arjuna's most intimate friend. He could have brought victory to Arjuna without any endeavor by Arjuna. Neither was that principle advised by Krishna. Neither Arjuna followed it. As a military man, Arjuna fought to his best, but the victory was brought him by Krishna. Similarly, we should try our best to our best capacity, and victory will come from Krishna. We should never sit idly and ask Krishna to do everything. That is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. It is clearly said in the Gita, yudhasya cha mam anushmara. So ordinarily, we have to try our best to our best capacity to achieve something, and by Krishna's grace, all of a sudden, we shall see everything is there. This sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. And that's what I felt, you know. That's what I was particularly remembering. I just felt it was exactly, you know, was doing that. I tried my best, to my best capacity, to achieve something, you know, by going out there and doing the work and simultaneously praying to Prabhupada, please help me. You know, please help me. I don't want to, you know, have this be a flop. And then by Krishna's grace, all of a sudden, I saw everything was there. So it's just like right out, you know, textbook case kind of thing. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, our principle should be, therefore, that we should work for the mission with great enthusiasm, with certainty for its success, and patiently follow the regulative principles, and associate ourselves with pure devotees, and work being completely in Krishna consciousness. That will make us happy and successful. So anyway, I felt like I kind of got some realization about that, and I actually experienced it, and it was very nice. And that's the way we want to understand Krishna. You know, just like Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, that during the when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, so many people saw him, right? But they didn't know him from a bar of soap. You know, they just, there's Krishna, so they just, there's another person, you know? They didn't know, have any understanding of who he was. So we want to understand Krishna. We want to see Krishna not like that. You know, not like the people who would just happen to be present 5,000 years ago and saw him and thought he was a, you know, ordinary human being. We want to see Krishna the way Draupadi saw Krishna when she was being disrobed. Now you might say, wait a second, Draupadi didn't see Krishna when she was being disrobed. Oh yeah? Well, I mean, she saw Krishna, but not with her eyes. She saw Krishna with her consciousness. I mean, you know, the story, everybody knows the story. But, so, you know, she tried different things, and she appealed to the elders and this and that. She appealed to her husbands, and she tried with her own strength and everything, and nothing. And then she finally just, ego venda, you know, she just internally, or maybe she even, she's shown as maybe even making the gestures of, you know, holding up her arms, hey Govinda, and then Krishna supplied unlimited sari. Now in the pictures, you know, sometimes you see a picture of that in the books or something, and it shows Krishna up there, you know, but it doesn't actually say in the text that Draupadi saw Krishna, you know, and he was supplying the sari. What it describes that, she, you know, the unlimited sari was supplied, but she saw Krishna. In other words, she could understand. It wasn't like she was thinking, oh, how's this happening? No, she knew darn well how it was happening. She knew 100% for sure, this is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's helping me. Krishna's coming to my rescue. You know, that sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. So, you know, she had the last laugh, so to speak. And, you know, she was understanding Krishna. She surrendered to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocated, and, you know, she understood Krishna. She didn't see him physically like that necessarily, but she understood, you know, the experience was understanding Krishna. So in the same way, you know, we want to be in that position. We want to place ourselves, as you know, in that position where we want to do something for Krishna. We have a desire. Desire is super important. You know, there's that famous verse by Rupa Goswami. I can't quote it. I'll let somebody quote it, but the gist of it is that, you know, if devotional service, if love for Krishna is available in the marketplace, you should purchase it at any price. But what is the price? He says it's just that intense desire to have it. You know, intense desire to have it. So we have to have that desire to, you know, we want to do something. You know, we're all individuals, and it's not a crime to have a particular thing that you, a way in which you want to serve Krishna, something you want to do for Krishna. And so you have that desire, and then with the cooperation, you know, in conjunction with your authorities and everything, we want to do something independent or whimsically, but you know, you try to arrange, make some effort to achieve that, and you have to, and simultaneously you pray. That is, you got to just endeavor and pray, and then if you do that sincerely, then Krishna reciprocates. And as we just heard, when you experience that reciprocation, like Draupadi did, like I was in my own small, you know, way experienced on the weekend, that's, as Prabhupada said, that sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. It's a very wonderful experience. It's like validating your whole, you know, life effort to be a devotee. You know, because we come to the class and we hear so much philosophy and we're doing different things like chanting and this and that, you know. And, of course, none of it's mechanical, and you could actually experience relationship with Krishna through any of these activities. But for some reason, or for me at least, you know, it always seems to come in that way, the way I did, was describing, possibly because that's my service, book distribution. But, so it validates the whole thing. You know, when you experience, as I said, it's not about just like, oh, getting a lot of books out, or you know, a lot of Lakshmi came in. It's about feeling that this is for real. It's, you know, this is the whole thing's for real. That Krishna really does exist. You know, all these things I'm hearing, they're true. Krishna really does exist. This is all for real, and it makes you feel really good about you know, the whole Krishna conscious experience when you have that experience, that reciprocation from Krishna. So anyway, I'll stop there. Looks like it's time, about 8:10 past 8. Does anybody have any questions or comments about, yeah, Sachid Narpabu? I hope not. Good question. I hope not.
Well, the reason I'm mentioning this also is because I have seen, you know, sometimes some devotees were very, very advanced now, prominent in different other services. They're doing really good. And it was not necessarily in book distribution. I remember I went with, I don't know if I should mention, Charu from Utah. He went out and I was like, wow, surprised to see him trying. But he did that day. Didn't happen to him. And another time I went with Mahatma. Mm-hmm. And Mahatma Das. And now after seeing all this time, and you see the way they actually find out that, yeah, I have a desire to serve Krishna, but maybe necessarily this particular service is not for me. So I was just trying to see also that sometimes some other devotees, they might not have that, you know, that skill or that, They have the desire to please Krishna, but maybe that particular service might not be the one that gives them the more results. Because ultimately, you know, like you're saying, you're asking for some results, or you want some results.
You're hoping. You're hoping. To be honest, you are.
So,
you got to maintain that determination. I'll tell one little real quick anecdote. I remember once I was in Sydney, Australia, years ago, and I had one day I decided, okay, I want to have a good day on Sankirtan today. So I got up early, you know, and I had all my rounds chanted, and I did some reading, you know, and I made sure I didn't overeat, which is a miracle for me. And I got out there to my spot, and I really enthusiastically got into it. I went to the train station, you know, Central Station, Sydney, Australia. And after about, like, 45 minutes, I got kicked out. I said, nuts. Yeah. So I went outside the train station. I was distributing there, and I was trying there, and I was kind of doing okay, and I got kicked out of there. Oh, wow. And so I went down to the bus station, which was kind of near there, and I was trying to get the bus station, and I got stopped there. And I said, oh, wow. A couple hours had passed by, and I was really frustrated. I said, okay, you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm going to hop on the bus, the next bus that comes, and I'm going to take it to the end of the line, because I usually wind up in some shopping center someplace. And wherever I wind up, I'm just going to distribute there. So I hopped on this bus, and it wound up in the middle of some neighborhood, in the middle of nowhere. So I hopped out, and there was in this neighborhood, there was one store. There was one like one of these, what they call milk bar in Australia. It was like a little convenience shop. I think that's how they refer to them here. They sell, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So some, you know, I did a couple people were walking in and out. So I stopped this one girl, and I gave her, I was distributing the hardcover teachings of Lord Chaitanya at the time. Anyway, so I gave her that book, and I told her about it, and she was interested, and she gave a nice donation. And I remembered at that time, they had these coupons in the back of the book that you fill out, and you can send it in and get a free coming back or free higher taste. It was like, you know, a way to get their information so we could have them on a mailing list. So I filled that out for her, and I kept it, you know, and she had the book, and she went away. And I thought, well, okay, at least I did something, one or two books today, and I got back on the bus and went back. But I felt like on the horse, thinking, wow, how is this possible? I mean, I tried so hard today. I had a good morning program. I got up. I was enthusiastic. I chanted my rounds. I read. I did everything right. I was thinking, so how come no result? Anyway, so time, that was it. I didn't get an answer. I didn't have an answer, and Krishna didn't whisper anything in my ear, so to speak. So it's a time passed. And then I was on this program after some months called Contract Sales, where we were selling sets of books. You know, we were trying to sell sets of books. So after the program was running for a couple months, it was going okay. We were, you know, having some success. So the devotee who was heading it up decided, okay, now we're going to expand. We're going to get, you know, three more devotees. There was three of us salesmen, and we're going to get three or four, and we're going to get some more devotees to do it. So they had devotees come in from other parts of Australia, and we had a meeting, you know, a seminar, and he was, talking about it and how to do it and what it was. And so finally, at the end of the thing, he goes, okay, now I want, Bhrigupati Prabhu and, Gopinath Acharya and Pallada Bhakti, I want you to take these new fellows out and show them how it's done. You know? And I thought, well, wait a second, it's not that easy because we were working from referred qualified leads. You know, you just didn't go stop somebody on the street and sell them a set of books. At least we weren't able to do it at that point. Up in San Jose, they're almost doing something like that now. But, you know, we had referred qualified leads. So I thought, well, wait a second. You can't just, expect me to go out and sell a set of books. But he was kind of like, yeah, come on. You've been doing this for a few months. Go. Just take them and show them how it's done. I said, well, okay. Anyway, so I told the person who was coming with me, I said, well, hey, listen, I'll take you out and we'll go visit somebody. But you'll see the presentation. But, I mean, don't expect that. You know, it's going to be a sale. It's not that easy to sell. So he said, oh, sure, I understand. Anyway, so I remembered that girl. And I had the card. I dug it out from where I was keeping it. And so I rang her up and I said, hey, you remember me? I gave you that book and, back a few months ago and we met in that suburb. And she said, oh, yeah. I said, hey, look, I've got this exciting new program that we, want to tell you about. Is it okay if I'm going to be out in your area later on? Today or tomorrow, whatever. Can I pop around and show you, tell you about it? She said, okay, sure. So I went to her place and got there, and she was in her apartment with her and her boyfriend, and we had this what was called a broadsheet. It was like this big chart. It was probably the size of the Vyasasan, maybe even a little bit bigger. And we laminated it and had a picture of the full set of Prabhupada's books, and some quotes on the bottom and like that. And we used to, when we did the presentation, we used to like open it up and lay it out on the floor, and tell people about it, the books like that. So we did that, and I went through the whole presentation, just figured, okay, what the heck, at least, let him see a presentation, the devotee who came with me. And at the end of the whole thing, I just said, so I'm sure a set of books like this is something that you'd really like to have. So how would you like to pay for it? Do you want to, write a check or do a credit card or just give me cash? And she said, oh, well, actually, check would be okay. And I was stunned. I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, how much? I said, well, $800. And she said, okay. She goes into a bedroom, comes back with a checkbook, writes a check for $800, and that was it. And I kept the poker face, I just, okay, thank you very much, And when we walked out, the devotee was with me. He goes, wow, that was great. That was ecstatic. I said, Prabhu, that was just Krishna's mercy. So the point is that delayed action mercies. Krishna's very kind. That's the point I'm trying to make. Krishna's very kind. I tried on one day, really hard. The result wasn't there that day, but it's called like delayed action mercy. Nothing ever goes unnoticed by Krishna. Krishna is like Krishna. I felt like Krishna was in the background going, I didn't forget that day. I appreciated that you were trying so hard that day. Here, I'm not there, but I didn't give you the mercy that day. That's okay. Here's the mercy from that day today. And so nothing goes in vain. No effort goes in vain. If we're trying sincerely to surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna, at some point or another, sooner or later, at some point or another, you're going to experience that reciprocation. We just have to maintain that, like Rupa Goswami says, utsahan nishchayat daryat tat tat kam pravata. Maintain that enthusiasm, determination, and patience, and it's just a matter of time. Krishna is going to reciprocate. Nobody's left, hanging in devotional service. Yeah.
I like that answer.
Thank you.
Nothing goes in vain.
I think Archidad is handling this one.
That was a good question, because quite often we see you're using book distribution as the barometer and yourself as the indicator on the barometer. And we've seen over many years that new distributors come along, and sometimes we older devotees, we look at each other, wow, they're blowing Bhrigupati away. He trains them, and then they're blowing him away. He's doing 30 books a day, and they're doing 200 books. But come back a year later or 2 years later, where's that person? They're gone. It's happened so many times, I can't even, count. So it's the steadiness that Krishna reciprocates, but also not just a particular effort on a particular day. Because those devotees made effort. They went out to the airport mostly, and they made effort on day one, day two, through whatever. But after day 300, they were gone. And Bhrigupati was still there.
Oh, thank you.
It's not just Krishna reciprocating with a particular effort on a particular day. It's the steadiness. And Prabhupada indicated that many times, that I don't want shooting stars. He wants devotees who are committed for life. I think to some of the devotees. It's up to them.
Yeah, we're in this for the long haul, right? Actually, on that note, I'd like to read one paragraph from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to help everybody. This is something that helps me stay in it for the long haul. So I just want to share it with everybody because I think it's really valuable. This is from the Anchalila, chapter 3. I think it's text 100. Prabhupada says, Haridas Thakur used to chant the holy name on his beads 300,000 times daily. Throughout the entire day and night, he would chant the 16 names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. One should not, however, imitate Haridas Thakur, for no one else can chant the holy name 300,000 times a day. Such chanting is for the Mukta Purusha, liberated soul. Now here it comes, Prabhupada's given something really, this is very valuable. We can follow his example, however, by chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra on beads every day and offering respect to the Tulsi plant. This is not at all difficult for anyone, and here it comes again. And the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with a vow before the Tulsi plant has such great spiritual potency that simply by doing this, one can become spiritually strong. Therefore, we request the members of the Hare Krishna movement to follow Haridas Thakur's example rigidly. So that's kind of like an instruction. I mean, Prabhupada's saying we're members of the Krishna conscious Hare Krishna movement. So he's requesting us to follow Haridas Thakur's example rigidly. He says, chanting 16 rounds does not take much time, nor is offering respects to the Tulsi plant difficult. The process has immense spiritual potency. One should not miss this opportunity. So this is like a, you know, this instruction and instructions like these that you have to take shelter of. You got to take shelter of these types of things, and this is what will enable you to be hang in there for the long haul. You're taking shelter of the, you know, the vani, and it's, you know, it's there. It's great spiritual potency, so be able to, you know, sustain all the onslaughts of the material energy. Yeah.
Just in short, Prabhu, I was thinking that really the important thing when we're out distributing books, as I used to tell people when I would train them up, is the quality of what we're doing, the quality of, you know, speaking to people about Krishna and inspiring them to read the books. You know, on some of those slow days that you were referring to where it was really a challenge, the quality, I'm sure, was you know, way up here. And we don't know when those books end up in somebody's hand. Okay, you might have had a slow day, but up the way, how did it inspire people to come to the temple, to go to any temple, to become Krishna's devotees, and maybe become big book distributors themselves? Mm. So just the points I wanted to inject there.
Bhakti?
Yeah, I just saw something. I had kind of like a little experience about that the other day. I just saw something that was like something somebody posted about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He said that when one's desire for service exceeds one's capacity, that's when empowerment comes.
And that's interesting. That's something to meditate on.
And so like a couple of days ago, I was just I went to Santa Monica. There wasn't really much else going on. And it was just, and every time I go there, I get really, it's like really hard, you know, and I just have such a hard time kind of breaking through out there. But yeah, and it was probably like 2 hours or something, you know, I just couldn't get anything, you know, and I was like, I remember I was reading something about, you know, the spiritual master and the disciple relation. I was trying to study for this test, but I was just sitting, I was like, I can't just sit here and read this, you know, and I have to get out and do it, you know. And so, yeah, I just went up to some other spot where it was a little bit quieter, and I was trying to talk to some people up there. And, you know, finally, like, you know, I ended up talking to one person, and, you know, he gave $20, you know, he said he already had Bhagavad Gita, and he liked it, so he took two other books. And then, like, right after that, I met some other, you know, another Mataji. She said that she just took a trip to, she just got back from a trip to India. And I was like, well, how was it? And she was like, you couldn't pay me to go back. It was horrible, you know? And I was like, well, you know, you must have got something from your experience, right? And she was like,
dysentery, no, what she said.
Yeah, she had been laid up sick for like a month or something, you know, since she got back, and she had just gotten out into the world again. Uh-huh. But she said that, you know, she realized that a person can practice spirituality anywhere, you know, you don't have to go to a certain part of the world to do that. And so she was just kind of like a little bit bewildered and trying to figure it out, and I was like, well, that's a really good realization, you know, there's a lot of people who go to India, you know, it's just kind of a vacation for them. They don't really take anything away from it, you know. So I just said, that's really awesome. And you know, so just kind of showing her some of the books. I told her Bhagavad Gita. I said, this is like the you know, the essence of Indian culture and philosophy, and this is, you know, the eternal India right here in a book, you know. So, yeah, and she was just real, I mean, just like totally turned around, you know, and she took the book and gave a donation. And then, you know, she was kind of asking me about what I was doing. She was even like, you know, she said even for a second she was considering even checking out the ashram here. You know, and I didn't like push it or anything, but I was just like, yeah, just, you know, come visit, you know. So, you know, who knows? I mean, it's like, you never know. Like, even just, yeah. It's just...
You know, just on that note, just about you can practice spiritual life in any place. Just over this last month or so, myself, Kush, a couple of the other devotees, we've been having a really good experience in that. We've been doing the summer sessions at the colleges. Like, you know, I was in a lot of anxiety because, you know, I didn't go on the Warped Tour this year, and I was thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do? You know, what's available? Because the schools are going to close, and then where do you go on Sankirtan? I don't want to go to... As you, Ira Bhakti, so I'm Santa Monica Promenade, really tough. Venice Beach is, I mean, a lot of people there, but it's really tough. So I thought, okay, well, let's try this. And we've been doing it, and it's, like, been surprisingly good. And the thing is that, you know, if you're, like, somebody, you're thinking, I might like to do, you'd like to do books, but you're afraid of, like, you know, huge droves of ferocious-looking karmis. Well, I am, too. You know, you're, I don't know, good company, but the feeling's mutual. But so we experience that, you know, you go to these campuses, they're practically deserted. And at any given time, maybe you're seeing two or three people as opposed to, you know, when they're in fall and spring session, 200 and 300 or 2,000 or 3,000 people. You're looking over the whole thing, you can see, and there's just two or three people. But somehow or another, we're staying engaged, and we're doing about the same, even better on some days than what we were doing when it was in full session. So you don't need, like, you know, some really incredible spot. Just go someplace where you feel comfortable, you know, and you try to think of someplace where the... A lot of times people act more like human beings, you know, humane beings, when they're kind of like in a more relaxed atmosphere. So just go someplace where you're comfortable, where you feel at home and relaxed, and just try the people in that situation. And you might be really, you might be pleasantly surprised. I know we have been, right? Am I talking? Yeah. We're having a good experience with it. So I just want to share that with everybody. So I think I can end it there. Thank you very much. Grantarod Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Do you have time for a question?
Yeah, sure.
I actually had a couple, but I don't want to bug you. Okay. So, my question is, when Draupadi, you said Draupadi surrendered, and so Krishna revealed himself. And so you were kind of explaining this the other day. I was hoping maybe you can explain it again, because it's nice to hear. So it's like, you were saying that surrender is not just like a one-time thing.
Thank you.
Because I hear people say, just surrender. But it's not just like a one-time thing, okay? We're doing everything. We're doing all the regular principles. We're doing everything around. It doesn't seem like... Sometimes Krishna reveals himself. He doesn't sometimes. So how to... What's like the definition of surrender?